Ruth Chapter 1, Leaving God and Losing Everything. The book of Ruth begins with a young family of Jews walking away from the promised land and back into the world. So what happens when someone leaves God? When a believer walks away from God's family and God's church, what happens to that life? Here in Ruth, that life goes from hard to desperate. It's a mess, and the only hope for a mess this big is redemption. In verse 1, our story begins in the days of the judges, one of the worst times in the history of God's people, a time when Israel had no king, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. As you may recall from our intro study, there was a famine in the land in those days. And so a man named Elimelech took his wife Naomi and their two boys, and they left Bethlehem in Judah and went to Moab. They left the house of bread in the place of praise and went to the world. There Elimelech, whose name means God is king, died. His two sons each married a Moabite wife, but within 10 years, both of those sons had died as well. And so our story begins with three widows, Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah, out in the world and alone. The world offers little hope for a widow. In Naomi's world, a husband was a provider and protector. With her husband gone, she would have to rely on her sons. But now they're gone too, and she is left with the added burden of two young daughters-in-law. Three widows left with little hope. Women are certainly able to work and provide for themselves, but only if the society allows it. Back in the Promised Land, God's laws made a multitude of provisions for widows to provide work for them and to place the lonely in new families. Stranded out in Moab, Naomi did not have those provisions. Then again, were the Israelites even following those laws? As you read, do not miss the level of desperation that Naomi faces. To lose a husband and both sons, and now caught between a famine and a hard place, so far from home and so distant from God's promises, Naomi was nearly hopeless. So where should she go? Verse 6. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them. So news had arrived that God came through for his people after all. Naomi and the girls decided to return to God's country and perhaps to return to God. But the two daughters-in-law couldn't really return to God because they never knew Israel's God in the first place. Naomi recognized that these two young women would actually be leaving their home and family. So she tells them to go back. Get back home, Loretta, that is, Ruth and Orpah. In verse 9, she says, "May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud. Naomi said go, but a bond of friendship had been built between these ladies, and the two girls don't want to go. They are family now, and more than that, they have suffered together. The Bible talks about this fellowship of suffering several times. Proverbs 17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born from adversity." It is true, the closest bonds of friendship are hewed and refined in the fires of hardship and heartache. Consider the people that you are closest to and how you got that way. So the girls want to stay together. Then in verse 11, "But Naomi said, 'Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me.' At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her." Did I tell you it was a chick flick? Men, stick around. So one girl heads home, but Ruth refuses to let go. Naomi tells her again to go back to her people and her gods, but Ruth will not relent. Then in verse 16, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me.' When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Here we have one of the most beautiful and beloved passages in all the Bible. It is a heartfelt and impassioned declaration of loyalty and dedication. Ruth and Naomi have each lost everything, husband, home, and almost every shred of hope. Yet Ruth recognizes the one thing that she still has, family. It is likely that Ruth had heard Naomi talk about the Jews and the God who truly loved his people. And even though God's people had gone their own way and messed with God's plan, Ruth still wanted in. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. And so the two of them headed back to Bethlehem. When they arrived, verse 19 tells us that the whole town was stirred up. The women were shocked. Can this be Naomi? Remember, it's been 10 years. Then in verse 20, "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter." Wow, that's pretty severe. Understandable, but severe. To get this one, you have to pay attention to the meanings of names again. See, Naomi means pleasant, and that was who she was. She was a pleasant woman. But life was rough on Naomi, and now she wants nothing to do with pleasant. So she says, "Don't call me pleasant, call me bitter." That's what Mara means, bitter. The sweet smile is gone and the lines of heartache darken her face now. And Naomi directs her bitterness right at God Almighty. In verse 21, "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." Naomi is seriously upset with God. Is that right? I don't know. Was it a reality for this woman? Absolutely. Do not miss here the desperate place that Naomi finds herself in. She is mourning the loss of her husband and both of her sons. Yet they had left God's lands and God's commands in the first place. But this was just hard. She returns with her belief in God intact, but her outlook is bleak and her attitude is bitter. And so we end chapter 1 with a story still in serious need of redeeming. As you read Ruth 1 today, consider Naomi's life. Naomi and her family leaving their home paints a picture of what it looks like when someone leaves God's family and God's church to head out into the world. The idea of God as king dies in their hearts, and life gets desperate. While that can be true for Christians, I believe that Naomi is a picture of the Jews. Her life is a poignant picture of the heart of the Israelites in her time, a people who wandered and whom God called back. Back in the last verse in Judges, Israel had no king, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Today we call it relativism. Your truth is true for you, so you do whatever seems right to you. It all sounds very humble and noble at first, respecting others, non-judgmental. But in the end, relativism usually degenerates into selfism. I do what's right for me, and I reject God as king, because the only kings I want to serve are me, myself, and I. So what about you and me? Well, if we intend to follow Christ, 1 Peter 3 says, "In your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord." That means that you set Jesus as king in your heart, and you sanctify that decision, make it holy, and don't ever let go. But the book of Ruth is about a family who failed to do that, who didn't serve God as king, and life just fell apart. Now those who are left are returning to God in desperation, but there is no happy ending yet. Will God take them back? Will God provide for a family that walked away? The chapter closes with a small glimmer of light. In the last verse, we see that it was the beginning of the barley harvest. So it's harvest time, and harvest means hope.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.